Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. He's the Podonis of round 24, where we had a 4-0 sweep and won the mixed matchup as well. The Maltese eluded us again. We missed a 17-1 by 4 points with the Bulldogs, where they did cover the game, one of our four best bet winners, but they were scoreless and it just wasn't quite enough. But overall, great round for us. And where did the time go? This is now the last regular season round. This is the last weekend of the year where we get eight NRL matches. And after this weekend, there's only 9 matches in total. And what a wild ride it's been. Thank you for being there with us. There's obviously been highs, there have been lows, but we definitely are proud that we've given you our best. And the overall results are really healthy. And we have navigated what's probably fair to say been the toughest ever season of Tripod, the 8th season of the Tripod. But our work is not done just yet. We've got a couple of best bets to share for this week, as well as obviously we'll continue these previews and recaps all the way through the finals. And our first best bet for round 25 is the first game in round 25. We're taking Parramatta at home plus half a point in the first half at $1.88. Ladbrokes and Neds next best on Sportsbet. They play the Melbourne Storm. For me, I'm not sure why they should be the underdog in this one. I think they're every chance to win this game. I think it's going to be tight, low scoring finals intensity, which means the additional likelihood that that half a point could be really valuable. Parramatta's in full strength. They're fresh. They haven't had to travel. And Melbourne are coming off a war last weekend. And look, they'll be battle hardened. And that's what I think this one will be, a battle and catching that all important hook. It's good enough for us to take as a best bet in a game that where everything is on the line, which we'll get into. And then the very next day, we're going to play the Roosters. More complicated scenarios because it depends on Thursday. But we are going to make the case to take them right now. $1.82 head-to-head on Bet365, where you get ETEC. Next best way to play that would be minus the 1.5 at the $2 per donus.
Yeah, as you touched on there, there's a few different scenarios of how this game can pan out before there's a ball even kicked. But in saying that, we do feel the Roosters are the strongest side in this one, with South still missing Cook. Both teams had important games last week, so I think that they're both going to be able to be in tune for this one and focus. And I just think this line's a little bit too light, given the firepower the Roosters do have. And despite some of their outs that have been mentioned, I think that they're going to be the side a bit more up for it, which we can speak about with a bit of higher motivation in front of their new stadium being opened as well, and an extra day of prep. So plenty to like for the Chooks there at the head-to-head price of $1.82.
Yeah, there's a lot going on this round and a lot of variables, and we're going to explain some other games where we might have had a lean, what might have kept us off, and even correlated multis. Of course, you got our mixed matchup. You got a couple of very juicy bets that we shared in the recap already, but we'll get to all that. Last week, we went in-depth in an extra segment with Tristan, and I appreciate it. Got a lot of great feedback. People really enjoyed that segment. This time of year, you know, it's a really challenging time for punters, but bookies as well, and it definitely helps us to know what the bookies are thinking. So on that note, let's find out now for round 25.
Hello, Tripod family. It's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. And round 25, it's always a tricky round to assess. And we've obviously had a big curveball, which was at least very well publicised by the Panthers in the fact that they're resting 13 out of the 17 players. So the the Cowboys are now 19.5 favourites. We actually opened the market at 12.5. It's got out to 19.5, I think. Some places might have had the Panthers even slight favourites at early stages there last week, but makes sense while they're resting them. Obviously, you know, they've also got a New South Wales Cup final, so check out the odds when they're released on that this week, because it'll be interesting, tricky trying to set the market there for a match where we know very little about the players coming in to fill that void after obviously they've had a pretty good year. The game on Friday night, Thursday night, should I say, between the Eels and the Storm has seen a lot of money for the Eels. They're into $1.99, the Storm $1.84. So they've been well supported to get the upset result and get their spot in the top four. It's a massive game. The Storm win, they finish in the top four. They've been brilliant the last few weeks. Obviously, the Roosters lowered their colours, but I don't think that's anything to be too concerned by if you're a Storm fan. The Roosters are in red hot form. And then the other game that is very important is the Roosters and the Rabbitohs. If the Storm do win, then the winner of this goes to fifth, and I think they'd fancy their chances more so against the Raiders in week one. But if the Eels win, then the game is virtually meaningless since they're, since they're playing at virtually the same home ground. So just keep an eye on team lists after the result of the Thursday night game. If you're having a punt, make sure you do it responsibly, and more so than ever, keep an eye on team lists this week.
Thanks, Tristan. So that's an interesting wrinkle. A game we've got a best bet on there's a scenario where it is kind of meaningless. But as we said, we will dive into that. If you followed us all season, I definitely think we have helped a lot of people with their betting, because 58% winners is no joke for sure. And maybe we've helped you with your tipping comp as well. I know my old man told me this week he had a perfect round, round 24, which has catapulted him to top of his tipping ladder going into the last round. If you're leading or in the mix to win your tipping comp, let us know. Best of luck. We'll try and tell you who we would tip in all these games as well, if it helps. And if you need any more help, just hit us up in the comments. And of course, with tipping, if you're a few spots back from where you want to be, you got to keep in mind you can't necessarily tip all the likely teams, because you might need to go different to the people in front of you. But speaking of tips, let's get all eight for this round in 80 seconds from the Axe.
G'day everyone, round 25, how fast has that season gone? Amazing, 7 out of 8 last week. Jeez, close again. Eels versus Storm. I think they might be a little bit beaten up, the Storm, after that game, brutal game against the Roosters. I think Parramatta can lift as well. They're one of them sides, but I'm gonna go Parramatta, the Dogs versus Manly. Put the Q in the rec, Manly. I know they're probably a better team on paper than the Dogs, but I'm going to go the Dogs in a bit of an upset. Roosters versus the Rabbits. How good is this game going to be? The opening of the new stadium, the official opening of the new stadium. I know Tupu or Radley for the Roosters. I'm going to go the Rabbits. New Zealand versus the Titans. Well, who knows who's going to turn up. I think the Warriors might want to finish with a bang at their home ground. So I'll go New Zealand. Broncos versus the Dragons. Ben Hunt has got a big thing about trying to win the Dally M, which is good for him. And the Broncos, they've been dreadful the last couple of weeks. So I'm going to go the Dragons. Cowboys versus Penrith. This is going to be another beauty up there in Townsville. I think Penrith might rest a couple, even though they've got plenty of depth. I'm going to go the Cowboys. The Knights versus the Sharks. Cronulla's defence will be too good for the Knights. Tigers versus the Raiders. They got more to play for, the Raiders, so I think Ricky will have their team firing. So I'm going to go the Eels, Dogs, Rabbitohs, Warriors, Dragons, Cowboys, Sharks and Raiders. Good luck.
You can probably guess that was recorded before Teamless yesterday, because I don't think Cowboys Panthers is going to be a beauty. But this one, Thursday night, certainly should be. Eels Storm at CommBank. Storm -1.5 road favourites. And it's all to play for. The winner gets the right to lose to Penrith by double digits in the first week of the finals. In all seriousness, that might happen, but I am only saying that tongue-in-cheek. Of course, what I love about this game too is that you get in the top four and you're also playing Thursday. You will be guaranteed a nice long turnaround to get into that all-important week one finals game. Everyone wants to be top four because you get the double chance, but even more powerful than that is the chance to win in week one of the finals and get the bye and the home prelim. That's what these teams both have in front of them. So with that being said, they've both named their full strength sides, of course. Parramatta hasn't changed from last week. Melbourne lost Eisenhuth. They've named Meany at 1 and King at 13, but you know it's going to be Munster and, in all likelihood, the Cheese in the middle of the field. But Donis, just about 8 days ago, you could get Parramatta at $9 to make the 4, as Tristan said in our chat. Now that's like a 50-50 as you look at the odds for this game. And in fact, if you've got the $9 on para, you could easily back the other side. But as you heard, the Axe likes Parramatta in this one, and so do we.
Yeah, that's right. Semi-finals have definitely come early with what's on the line here in this one. And we liked the Eels last week to flex their muscles, and they did just that against the Broncos. And with their record against these big sides this year, you have to respect them. And I do like them as well this week. And don't forget, way back early in the season, the Eels did beat the Storm down in Melbourne. So that, you know, they're going to be coming into this one full of enthusiasm and confidence. And for the Storm, Tristan touched on it. I had exactly the same point that he made. They're coming off an absolutely brutal game against the Roosters, where physically you do have to question the toll that it's going to take on their bodies. Whereas the Eels, as we saw, they coasted for large periods in that game against the Broncos, and they get a full turnaround against that one. So you know they're going to be pretty fresh. And you have to go back 12 weeks before last week, where the Eels last left Sydney. So you do know that that's going to have some impact on them at this stage of the year with those fresh legs. And for those reasons, I do feel the line move from 3.5 in the early markets to 1.5 is pretty justified. And I'd go as far to say, I think the Eels should be a slight favorite. So I love the fact that we can get plus half a point in the first half, because I feel it's a little bit stronger than taking the full match line, because I don't know, just call it intuition. I just think that the Storm might do enough when it's all said and done to grab that fourth spot. But in saying that, if you're Melbourne, you're coming off some big games in a row. You played Roosters, you got to get up for the Eels, and then you got to get up for the Panthers. So I just wonder whether or not it means a little bit more to the Eels to finish fourth, whereas I think Storm would have more trust and confidence that they can win from outside the top four than what Parra do. So for all those reasons, in front of their home fans, I like Parra to get it done.
You mentioned Parra having all this time in Sydney, and the way they look at it is they can snap this 36-year premiership drought. And all they've got to do is keep winning games in Sydney. And as long as they win in Sydney this weekend, they'll be in Sydney next week. And if they win that, they'll get a week off, and they'll be playing a home prelim in Sydney, and then, of course, the big dance as well. So they see it as being four wins away from the promised land. And you also mentioned the line has moved in from 3.5 to 1.5. But the beauty of our halftime line is, what would the halftime line have been a few days ago? +1.5. Well, to us, in a half, +1.5 is not that different to +0.5 a point. So even though the market's shifted significantly with weighted money for Parra, we don't feel like we're losing value by playing it this way. By no means are we riding off the Storm. You'd be silly to. They've got a real chance. You can play our best bet and still believe the game's like 50-50. If I have to pick a winner, I do slightly lean to Parra, but I see where you're coming from. Of course, Melbourne are a gun side and they're in good form of their own. I don't put too much credence in this recent head-to-head record. Like, Parra has beaten the Storm 4 of the last 5. Yeah, you get the confidence. You're not going to fear the Storm, but every game has its own circumstances as well. And I agree, Parramatta's fresher and has more energy, but you could also argue that Melbourne comes in battle-hardened. So I think it's going to be a great game. But as I said at the top, I can't really justify Parramatta being an underdog in my mind. So if I can get them in an underdog market, then I'm going to enjoy playing it that way. On Friday, the Dogs play the Seagulls, and Manly are +6.5 point underdogs. Thompson was out with COVID last week, but comes in. Waddell back from suspension, and TPJ elevated from New South Wales Cup. Manly names another relatively unknown youngster in Weeks this time to play fullback, which shifts Kohler back to the centres. Aloye is out. But honest, how do you see this one?
Yeah, so we know the Dogs just came off a pretty tough run, losing 2 in a row to the Sharks and Eels. We liked the Dogs last week. They covered that number and hung pretty tough, even though their attack's been pretty poor the last few weeks, despite the fact that they've been much improved since Barrett has left the club. And they get a step down in class here against the Eels, and against Manly there. And we just heard Gilmeister say that he thinks it's a bit of an upset for the Dogs to win, but I don't know if he's checked the odds, but the Dogs are actually favoured by 6.5 points. And we spoke about this time of the year, motivation and effort counts for a whole lot more than names on a team sheet. And if you're lining up these sides on a piece of paper, then you'd say it's pretty even, and it's pretty hard to split these sides. So from that point of view, it's hard to justify laying over a converted try with the Dogs. But I think that's the only way that I could lean, though, because I just know that they're going to turn up with the right attitude and look to end the year at a high in front of their home fans. Whereas I don't think Manly are going to be there or thereabouts. I think we said after the game against the week before last week against Canberra, where we said that Manly season might be done, and it's a case of you either pass the game or you fade Manly. So I think that's the case here. If you like the Dogs, then take the points, but I definitely can't see anyone taking Manly given all those circumstances the last few weeks, and might be a fractured dressing room still.
It's a funny point you make there, because Manly are higher on the ladder and still 3 wins higher on the ladder than the Bulldogs. But there's no doubt really in anyone's mind who should be favourites. It should be the Dogs. Although, funny enough, you go back to our season preview, we each independently of all the teams looked at their over-unders for wins and over-under ladder position. And both of us agreed our strongest bet of the season would be to play the Dogs to not finish top 10. Their over-under was 10.5. And they are currently 12th, and that's after a real resurgence in the middle of the year where you might have been a little bit nervous. But don't worry, even if they win this one, as I said, they're 3 wins lower than Manly, so they cannot finish higher than 12th Canterbury. So if you did grab that preseason, our favourite preseason play as well, well done there. And in saying that, the Dogs won for us last week, but they did disappoint me with their attack. I know part of it's like the conditions. It wasn't a great afternoon to play footy, and the Sharkies have got stifling defence for sure, but I just felt the Dogs had nothing to lose, and they were down by a couple of tries, you know, through that second half. They could have thrown a bit more at their opponent than they did. Now they face a team that I know won't be as hard to crack in Manly. And, like, what do you say about this Manly side? We've said the same thing the last couple of weeks. The line is too high for the personnel they've got available, but we just have no belief in their what spirit they've got left. Off a cliff since the last, you know, since about 5 or 6 weeks ago. We probably should have had more best bets against them because they've just been a true dead team that just wants the season to end. And my only other advice for this game, it will be the same thing I said a week ago. If you are tempted to bet on Manly, I'd rather stake less and go outright win. Or if you like the Dogs, put a little bit on winning by a big margin. Exactly like I said last week, I said you could go Raiders 40 plus, for example. They did win by 42 points. And that was still a juicy price. And then after the game, nobody was surprised that the Raiders had flogged Manly. So if you can get juicy odds on something that really wouldn't surprise you, that can be a decent bet. I could only play the Dogs if I have to play this at the line, but I would know that we'd be on the public side there, so we don't feel we're getting great line value. Moving to Friday, this one, you've got to really concentrate here to understand all the scenarios and what's going on. This is kind of like Inception, but look, two age-old rivals meet at the opening of Allianz, the new stadium there, Friday night. The Souths are slight underdogs at +1.5. And let's outline it again to be clear. The two major scenarios. You got one, Melbourne Storm wins Thursday. Now, this would mean there's more to play for in Roosters Rabbits because the winner can get to fifth and most likely play the Raiders, and the loser finishes seventh and plays Parramatta. So you can see a reward there if the Storm wins. But if Parramatta had won Thursday night, then the Roosters will go into Friday night knowing if they win by, let's say, 40, 50, obviously dependent on how much Parramatta might have won the night before. There's a really long shot outside chance that the Roosters could leapfrog Melbourne and still get that fifth spot, but much more likely, much more realistic, that if the Parramatta Eels have won Thursday, that Roosters Souths is locked in 2 weeks in a row, being the week after this one in the 6-7 elimination matchup, regardless of round 25 outcome. Now, that is a precarious position for both these clubs, and they had to name their sides yesterday without knowing the result tomorrow, obviously. And they have both named pretty much the strongest sides they could have. The Roosters won't go in with Radley. Tupou did a groin injury. Collins suspended. The Rabbitohs won't have Cook, who got COVID. Graham, they're saying, is rested after the big shot from Hess. But there's still a lot of firepower, as you mentioned, Podonis. You look at this Roosters side, you've got Teddy, Manu, Swali'i, Kiri, Latrell, Walker, Alex Johnston on the other side, and not to mention these big fiery forwards as well. But of course, the tricky part, one thing we know for sure, you can't make mass changes to your 21 once you've named them on Tuesday, but you can still omit players Thursday night and game day if you choose. So these are all the elements that are in play here. Hard for a punter and hard for a bookie. So it was hard to handicap this one, Podonis, but we feel in either scenario, we'll be comfortable playing Sydney Roosters.
Yeah, either scenario, I think that the Roosters are the side in this one. And you touched on the fact there that if the Storm win, both teams are playing for fifth place. I think the other advantage that not many people are talking about is that coming fifth, not only do you get to play Canberra or Brisbane, but you also can avoid Penrith as well. If you win out, you can't play Penrith until the grand final. And that's obviously assuming that the Panthers win in that first week, which we think they'll do, and learn the lessons from last year. So I think that's a pretty big reward and advantage for the Roosters. And I do think they are the side, and I'm surprised that this line isn't a little bit higher. So this market's pretty much telling us that South and the Roosters are almost even, but I wouldn't agree that they are even, especially with Damien Cook missing as well. And I do see a scenario that if Melbourne win, then this is a great bet. I really love the Roosters because I think this line has the potential to close at 3.5 or 4. That's how strong that I do feel that the Roosters have an advantage over the Souths, especially given the fact that Cook's out, as we touched on. And I think Souths have played their hand that they don't really want to go all in for this week because I think that they've given Latrell Mitchell the week off. He's gone back home as well. So I think that shows South's mindset. Yes, they'd love to win the game, but I think that might mean just a bit more to the Roosters, especially given that it is in front of their own fans. It's their members. And Robinson also has got a pretty poor record against South the last few times. So I think this round last year, they lost by 70 points. And there was a few reasons why behind that. And the Roosters didn't really go all in that spot. But I think that we're going to see the Roosters show up here, especially if the Storm do win. But in the scenario where the Eels win and both teams are playing each other the week after, you do have to worry and question that. Do you really want to show your true hand and show your opponent your best moves the week before it really counts? So there might be some doubt over that and whether some players can get rested or not. I'm not too sure because 24 hours before kickoff, they have to reduce it to a 19-man squad. So even then, you've only got two men that you can choose from. And even if they say rest of Tedesco or Kiri or something like that, then I still feel pretty confident that Joey Manu in fullback provides them enough depth cover that they'll still be able to cover as a small favourite. Or we only need them to win the game. So I definitely think that there's a few factors in our favour that we just like the Roosters, but we can really love them as well. We can really get a great bet, especially if the Storm do win tomorrow night. So that's my reasons for taking him. And I think that the line should start high regardless.
And that big flogging that the Rabbitohs subjected the Roosters, that was 2 years ago. But also there were finals implications and the Roosters didn't have a lot to gain. And it was very evident. And you do roll the dice a little bit with that, but I think that's also what's holding this Roosters price. And I think you make the key point there. If, like, we don't know, and, like, yes, we've just given a best bet on Eels, but we're saying it's that close. It's close to 50-50 Thursday, right? So we're not, that's not going to influence how we pick this one. But you've got one scenario where they're both definitely trying to win. If fifth is up for grabs, we like the Roosters. In the other scenario where nobody really has a lot to gain, let's say they both have the ability to rest one to two players. I feel like the Rabbitohs could diminish their own side more by resting someone like Luttrell more than any player could hurt the Roosters if they sit out. So I feel like that's in our favour as well. And then I'm not a big believer in this, but what about momentum? I mean, the Roosters have won seven in a row. Last week's win, as impressive as any of them. They probably just, I might want to just keep riding this wave. You know, like there's benefits to resting players. And I think if you've got the luxury of either choice, you always would choose rest, but there still are benefits from just getting sharper and improving combinations. And if it's a game where neither has a lot to gain, I'm not saying either side's going to pull out all their tricks, but I still think the Roosters might come in with a full mentality of defending and trying to see what the Rabbitohs are going to do to break them down and keeping that finals level defensive attitude, even if they don't show all their tricks in attack. Now, you talk about form. The Rabbitohs are in some great form as well. They've had nine matches since Luttrell came back from the US, and the Rabbitohs have won seven of those. And the only games they didn't win, they lost very narrowly to the teams that are currently occupying first and second on the ladder. So they're two formidable sides. They're two sides teams don't want to play in the finals. They may meet in week one of the finals. They might not. We'll find out. But I think we're happy to take the Roosters in either scenario. It won't be a bad bet. And, yeah, I'm just going to go with the side that hasn't lost a game since round 16. And as you say, playing in front of their ticketed fans and maybe wanting to open the stadium with a bang. On Saturday, it's more like farewell vibes as the Warriors play the final game of the season in front of a sold-out Mount Smart against the Gold Coast Titans, and the Titans are plus 5.5-point underdogs. Some good news for New Zealand. Shaun Johnson has been named after leaving the field early with a calf injury last week. Arthurs, Egan, Aitken, Montoya and Berry are all back for the Warriors as well. The Titans have Sammy in for a suspended Kelly. And we did our round 24 recap at halftime in Titans night. So one notable event we didn't touch on was Kelly being sent off with 30 minutes to go. Funnily enough, that was the second straight week a player was sent off in a Titans game. And for the second straight week, the team that was down to 12, actually carried on and won the game. So give some respect to the Titans for holding it together and getting those 2 points against Newcastle. It doesn't say much about Newcastle, but what it did do is effectively end the wooden spoon race, which otherwise could have come down to this game, Podonis.
Yeah, and just the one point you just mentioned then, going down to 12 men, I think give a bit more credit to the Knights, because I think when the Titans went down to 12 men against the Dragons, they lost the game outright from that point, whereas at least the Knights won 18 points to 6. But just it goes to show how far the Titans have fallen, given that this time last year they were playing for a spot in the eight and they did make the eight. These are two teams in the Warriors and the Titans that have shown dramatically contrasting results and performances between their home and away splits this year. And this trend, I'm expecting it to continue again this week. And I went back and looked at the data this morning, and remarkably, the Titans haven't won a game away all season. And their only win outside of Seabus was in that Magic Round game against the Dragons, which was still in Queensland. So it just goes
to Golden Point, and they just won it.
And Golden Point. And there was a stage in that game, we touched on it in that recap back then, that the Dragons could have went 8 points clear if Lomax kicked that goal. So it's a lot of a different story there. But I think the Titans just beat up on two poor sides the last few weeks in Manly and the Knights with pretty much not much to play for. But I think that's going to be a completely different scenario this week with the Warriors. We know they're going to be up for it. The home crowd provides a different energy for them and different attitude. And that's a big factor at this time of the season. And the Warriors do get a bit stronger as well with the players you touched on, with Aiken, Arthurs and Egan back, and Johnson's right to go, or he's been named. I'm not sure whether or not that's to give him a farewell or whether he's 100% fit. So that's my one hesitation with the Warriors, but I could only lean towards them. But the problem I'm finding with the line value is that I think on paper, these two sides are pretty even, and the home field advantage was so strong at the start, given that they had that such a large absence, but it gets less and less incrementally each time. So can you sit there and say that the line should be above 4.5? Do you give the home field more than 4 points at this stage? I don't think I do. If this line was under 4, I'd probably lay it. But at this number, I'd just have to pass. But I'm definitely leaning the Warriors. And we'll probably end up watching them come out and win by 30. But I'm not going to have a set on this game.
You know what? Honestly, I believe that people have made this argument like, oh, yeah, stop talking about Warriors home advantage. Like, they've been back for a bit now. But this is the last one. And it will be sold out. And I heard like some corporations were buying tickets for fans. I'll be honest, I reckon this home is still worth 6, maybe 6.5 points. But the line's 5.5. So that doesn't necessarily, as you say, if the premise is that these two sides are about equal in ability, it's not a monumental amount of value, but it does still side me with the Warriors. If I have to bet it, I'm the same as you. I think the Warriors are the play. I'm also concerned about Johnson, because is he going to play injury hampered just because he wants to be part of it? I could see that backfiring, because even when he's been healthy this year, his form has been mixed. And look, the Titans are just that kind of side that could play spoiler, because they do have these game breakers and they do have nothing to lose. So we probably should be on New Zealand again. We've been championing this campaign, talking about the Warriors, what a different side they are with this monumental home advantage and how much it impacts their level of play at home versus away. And that's certainly why we didn't even consider playing the Titans in this one, but we haven't got over the line, as explained, for a Warriors best bet. So we leave that one alone. Dragons Broncos is another fascinating clash for round 25, because the top eight could be decided at full time in this one, or it could be decided the following day. St. George have named the same 17 that scraped home against the Tigers, if you didn't catch that one. McCulloch's in the reserve, so he could be brought into that mix. The Broncos, Pat Carrigan back, Cobbo back. It made no sense to me why this guy who plays on the wing Brisbane said he was rested last week. But anyway, Reynolds has been named but must pass concussion protocol. Flegler had a throat injury but named. Mam is dropped for Gamble at 5'8", and Kobe Hetherington is out. And how the mighty have fallen, because Brisbane was flying. Big win in Sydney at round 19 against Parramatta. We thought they were going well. We backed them in round 20 and what we thought was a good spot, and they lost outright to the Tigers, and that was the beginning of the end. And thankfully, we haven't been on them since then, and in fact, we won very easily against your Broncos last week. And yet, it isn't quite the end, is it? Because if they win this game, they will be back in the eight, maybe only for 24 hours, but anything can happen. You know, it still puts the pressure on the Raiders at Leichhardt on Sunday. So the fact of the matter is, it's not a great chance, but you're telling me there's a chance. There's a chance for the Broncos. And I feel like even if they win this and they don't make the eight, it still would restore a little bit of much needed pride in this club that has had a really bad month, but honest.
Yeah, it has for sure. And you touched on it there. In that round 19 game after they beat the Eels, they were $1.08 to make the top eight, and they were $1.50 or $60 in some shops to make the top four at that point in time. So to miss the finals altogether is just... it's just a shocking turn of events for the club.
And mate, they must have been like $1.01 to make the eight, because they were still $1.08 to make the eight like 2 weeks ago after a few losses. Yeah. So I think I think it was inconceivable that they could miss the eight, you know, a few weeks ago.
That's right. Somehow they're in that position where all they can do now is pretty slim chance, but they can just put pressure on Canberra to at least do their bit. And the one risk with betting on the Broncos this week is, and it's a fair question for some people to say, and I've heard it in the media and some of the public, is that are they completely done for the year and on the back of conceding 110 points in the past fortnight? What will their headspace look like? But for me, looking deeper and going beyond that, I think with no one expecting them to make the finals, now the pressure is a little bit off them at the moment. And I think it's a good thing for them that they can get away from the spotlight in Brisbane and they can maybe focus on enjoying their footy again, because I think that it's been pretty torturous watching them the past fortnight. And they can look to end their season on a high and at least put in a step in the right direction, because they have improved this year. I know that it's been a dramatic fall for them given where they were a month ago, but if you'd said at the start of the year the Broncos would finish ninth and just miss the finals, and I think that most people in the club would have taken that progression. I think Paddy Carrigan returning is a massive return for them. He's the kind of leader that really sets such a high standard that he's not going to allow any complacency in the side. So I think his energy in the middle of the field is a big plus, and I guarantee we'll see a completely different effort to the one we saw last week against the Eels and against Melbourne. You only have to look at the Tigers the week before to prove that they conceded 70 points and we were on them against the Roosters, and they come out and arguably should have won the game outright against the Dragons and a much improved effort. So again, 1 week doesn't translate to the week after. I think Tyson Gamble playing as well provides some energy for him. And just to quickly touch on Ezra Mann, because I don't think it's a knock on him, because I think future-wise, potential long-term, I think his growth in the NRL is limitless. I think he's proven himself that he's going to be a future star, but we've seen time and time again that when these players are young, they're inexperienced, and don't forget it's a rookie year for him, that you can burn out and you can get fatigued by the NRL. So I think we've seen that with him the past few weeks, that he hasn't been at the same level. Defensively, he's made a few mistakes as well. So he'll be better for the off-season and the run next year. But I think this game is going to come down to effort. And the one issue with taking the Broncos at this point is I'm not quite sure yet if Adam Reynolds is going to play. If I knew he was playing, I'd probably lay the 4.5, because I think this line should be above 6. But I think we're in a scenario where if Reynolds does get named later in the week, you can still be able to get a 4.5. I don't think it's going to move too much, because I think the market's expecting it to play. So it can only backfire taking the Broncos now. But that's the only way that I can play it. And I think they're going to at least make Canberra earn their spot.
You make a good point there about the overall result of this season. I talked about ladder position and Dogs were over under 10.5. And we thought, really, Dogs are going to climb that many ladder positions? I mean, Brisbane's over under was 9.5. And worst they're going to come this season is 9. So if you bet the over under 9.5, like they've actually exceeded expectations. And I don't know if any club will say, oh, yeah, we'll take missing the finals. But I feel like coming 9th is probably par. But, of course, it's from where they've fallen off from. And we discussed that more in the recaps. I'm not going to regurgitate all the reasons why we're speculating that this has happened to Brisbane, but it's been there for all to see. And then their opponent, the Dragons, have got a bunch of players that would love to bury Brisbane and make their season end on a further down note. You've got Moga, Maguire, Sewer, Bird, their captain, Ben Hunt, their coach as well, are all discards of the Brisbane Broncos to a degree. And I thought the Dragons were going to beat the Broncos. Remember when they met a couple of months ago before Origin 3, when the no Origin stars and the Dragons were super disappointing on that afternoon. You were in attendance of that one, but honest. But that could be extra motivation for St. George to get it right here. However, I'm with you. I could only back Brisbane. I think being flogged 2 weeks in a row has led them to be highly criticised, but Kevy's not gone anywhere. The team needs to respond. And let's be at least a little bit fair. They did meet a couple of hot footy sides in Melbourne and Parra, sides that are going very well and exacerbated those wounds in those games. Carrigan back is going to be huge. We've told you every week how much they miss him. So now he's back. That will lift them up. I also think the 9-day turnaround versus the 6-day turnaround is very helpful at this time of year. And I also think, bear with me here, I reckon it could be a blessing to Brisbane if they could win this game, go all out, restore a little bit of pride, and then it might actually be the merciful thing for the Raiders to win on Sunday and spare Brisbane any more punishment. Because really, does Brisbane want to go all out and win this game? And then, oh, congratulations, you're playing Melbourne in Melbourne next week. Your season's still going to end, but, you know, in a big defeat in all likelihood. And, yeah, talking about odds to make the eight, because you said, you know, 5 weeks ago Brisbane was $1.08. Well, I'm telling you, Brisbane was like $1.05 to make the eight 11 days ago. Because I went back in our group, and shout out to Ben Graham. He tipped Raiders to make the four at to make the eight at $4, and Brisbane to miss the eight at $13. And if you saw that post, you saw my comment on that, where I instantly said, "Yep, that $13 about Brisbane to miss the eight is definitely overs." And there's a saying in punting that you can't eat overs. But anyone that did jump on that Brisbane to miss the eight price, as I say, only a week and a half ago, you got a fair chance to be eating, whether it's Saturday night or whether you've got to wait till Sunday. But later Saturday night, we're hoping to be feasting as well, if you've jumped on some of our players suggested in the recap, when the Cowboys meet the Panthers. And the Panthers, I've just instinctively written Panthers and minus 19 and a half. I think I'm just so used to seeing that big line. It's not the case. The Panthers are plus 19 and a half in this one. Quickly outlay scenarios. If the Storm would have won, the Cowboys could fall as low as fourth. If the Storm has lost on Thursday, the Cowboys will be third in this when this game kicks off and can finish as high as second, but no lower than third. So regardless, they're going to want to win to put pressure on the Sharkies. But the worst case scenario for the Cowboys is they could fall back to fourth and have to play a vastly different Penrith side in a week's time. And with that in mind, they've named the strongest side that they can, North Queensland. Hess is suspended, which just brings Cotter into starting prop. And even Tom Dearden is a chance for an early return via the reserves. As for Penrith, we're going to time travel. We're going to play you 30 seconds from our round 24 recap show.
Penrith rolling into the semi-finals and sets up a chance for them to rest some players next week.
Yes, so final hit out for Penrith, basically full strength. And I'll give you a bonus tip as well. So multiple people, sharp minds in our group, have tipped Cowboys minus 4.5 for the game in round 25. At $1.50 head-to-head on Sportsbet, I really can't see how the Cowboys are going to lose that one. And even on Bet365, 13-plus play the Cowboys. My prediction is that Penrith is going to name vastly understrength side, and that that line could be near 20. So we don't often give you tips in the live recap, but if you are one of our loyal followers that jumps in, I really believe that this is one of those rare occasions. You've seen us do it before. We've beaten the line by multiple converted tries in round 25 because it is a peculiar round. And I think the bookies are going to be a bit more aware. So I was surprised that any bookies were letting people get at the Cowboys because they could still want to win to put pressure on Cronulla next week. Penrith have nothing to play for, and you just wouldn't risk an injury or a suspension. That's right. That was recorded Sunday, so 2 days before the team lists were announced, before the markets had drastically shifted. But that's what we do on the Tripod. We try to predict things before they happen for your benefit. So for us, the writing was on the wall, and for anyone that got that, is our gift to you, because if you haven't heard, the Panthers are resting at least 12 starters this week. The minus 4.5 that was available on Saturday is now 19.5. The $1.50 head-to-head that you could have got even as late as Monday morning is $1.15. The 13-plus that was $2.50 is $1.50. And if you are a member of our group and you hang out there, you'll know that it's not just us. There's a bunch of great tipsters that share value, and there's been guys that have been finding great look-ahead lines all season long. And we will rarely weigh in on those, partly because we don't want to show our hand prior to a Wednesday. But to be honest, I also don't like sharing my opinion on a game before I've done my work, because I feel like my opinion is incomplete. I haven't prepared. But this is a unique case and an extreme case. As we said in the forum, we knew there's just no hope in hell this line was going to be there for us on a Wednesday. And I think that's an underrated point, to the fact that we're having another really profitable season. We are so limited. We can only share best bets that are available at 6 p.m. on Wednesday night, rather than being out of shop at every place every time of the week. We try and do that to make it simpler and easier for people to follow along. Whereas you as a punter, you're not limited by that. You can jump on any time. So for that reason, we jumped into the comments. We strongly endorsed playing the Cowboys at that single-digit line. Play them head-to-head at that juicy price, plus money odds for the bigger margin. And now a lot of the people listening have got those bets on, and they're all asking us, at what point does it become value to go back and play the other side? So what do you reckon?
Yeah, at what point it's value is definitely not at this number. I'd still even lay the 19.5, because I think the game's ruined as a spectacle in a contest. I think there's no doubt in my mind who the winner is going to be. It's going to be one-way traffic in this game. And just to touch on your point just then, with a few people commenting as well early in the week that, oh, they missed the recap, they couldn't get on the number. 11 o'clock on Monday morning, I actually posted on Dabble as well, -9.5 was still available. And that was a great number as well at the time. So just pays to be across multiple bookmakers and to make sure you guys are following us on all our platforms, because we can find value even though we're not tipping it officially as part of the tripod. But to be honest, I'd lean the Cowboys at anything under 22.5. At 24 is probably where I'd start to maybe take a break, but I definitely couldn't even still take the points with the Panthers. We know it's going to be a New South Wales Cup team pretty much with their entire starting side out. And for the Cows, I think they'll be silly to play Tom Dearden. I think give him the week off to recover from what's a pretty gruesome injury for us blokes out there. Jacob grimacing in the background there. But I think they're going to set up a big first half and get out to a lead. So the one risk with taking them at this big number now is that they could take some guys off for an early shower. Even still, that's the only way that I could look. So if you had to play the line now, I'd probably look at a first half line at a 10.5 or something. But I definitely, the Cows are the other side, and I couldn't lay Penrith even if it was at 20.
And that's what makes this unique. And that's why we didn't just say, oh, we think -4.5, -6.5 is a good bet. We said we predict this is going to get to 20. So that's why it's still a good bet the next day when, as you said, you want to get more on at -9.5, it's still a good bet. Oh, even if you're restricted on some of these bookies, and most of them had it up, Bet365, Sportsbet, but like Top Sport, you know, lets people on for bigger bets. Well, they opened at 12.5 on Monday, as Tristan said. You know, and we're telling you it's going to approach 20. So it's still a good bet then, even though the line had already moved, you know, 7 or 8 points. So you could never usually say this through the season, but that's what makes round 25 so unique. And we've done it in the past. And hey, we've done the right thing so far. It's still got to come out and win. And I don't want to jinx it, but I don't want to take a victory lap yet. But this is what it's all about, trying to give you guys tips that ended up, you know, where the line ends up shifting multiple converted tries, as I said. Now, some people are questioning the tip. Everyone understands not much to play for Penrith, but people are saying, well, what's the Cowboys' motivation? I don't question the Cowboys here because they're off a loss. I think they want a good performance before the finals. They're in front of their home fans, which makes a difference. They definitely don't want to play Melbourne, as I mentioned, which is a possibility they could fall to fourth depending on results. But even if Melbourne loses, the other thing is if the Cowboys were to lose, they know for sure, let's say they can't fall to fourth, and therefore they're not motivated. If they lose, you're letting Cronulla off the hook, because now Cronulla doesn't need to win, and you're letting Cronulla choose to rest a couple of their stars on Sunday, knowing you're playing them next week. So you actually want to win to put the pressure to the Cronulla side that then the next day has to win. And we'll get to that game. It's in Newcastle. It's Old Boys Day. You know, you want Cronulla to be sweating and to be working as hard as they possibly can the following day if you know you're playing them. So that's Cowboys' motivation to win.
Sorry, just go on that, mate. As well, if the Cows lose, then there's a potential they can come fourth if the Storm win on Thursday night.
That's right. So, but I'm saying people might reckon that if the Storm has lost, it takes away the Cowboys' motivation to win. But I disagree with that because I still think, for the scenario of putting pressure on Cronulla, it is all complicated. It's all kind of inception this week, but it's all part of it. Now, that's why the Cowboys want to win, okay? But you might say, okay, but they don't need to win by a big margin. But I don't think this Cowboys side knows any other way. I think if they come out and playing to win, they're playing ruthless. It's what we've seen from them all year. Now, if you want to back Penrith, you're also going to tell me they're the deepest team in the NRL, and that's true as well. And you're going to say the guys that are playing are all fighting for spots, and some of them are, sure, but it's such a big departure from the real Penrith Panthers to the 17 that are going to line up in Townsville on Saturday night. They could play the game of their lives, this Penrith B team, and they might still lose by a couple of tries. So, reality, I'm with you. This line would need to be a fair bit higher before I was tempted to take Penrith. You said 24.5. I kind of thought about the same in my mind. I thought if this line got to 26 or above, then I'm going to start to entertain the thought of taking Penrith, and it's not going to get that high. So in other words, this is one of those lines that just won't get high enough. In my opinion, I think North Queensland are going to win this game comfortably and win it well. And if you haven't backed it yet, I'm with you, I still lean to the Cowboys at the current -19.5. And I think it will still climb a bit higher. And for that reason, we're going to still piggyback onto the Cowboys and allow you to bet on the Cows with us if you haven't yet. And if you are on some of those great bets, maybe you can dip in a bit more, because we're going to use the Cowboys in our mixed matchup for round 25. Cowboys to outscore the Storm's first half total plus the Rabbitohs full-time total. So our best bet is against the Storm first half. So we're fading Storm first half points. And then our next best bet is Roosters against the Rabbitohs. So we're fading the Rabbitohs. You add it all up. Storm first half plus Rabbitohs full game is predicted to score about 32, which is right around what the Cowboys are predicted to score. But I reckon they could win a blowout, where I think the games Thursday and Friday could be much lower scoring. And we're getting plus odds of $2.15. You can have up to 200 on that. On Toppy, if you need a TopSport account, of course, you can use the code TRIPOD. Moving to Sunday, Knights Sharks, as we mentioned. Sharks 19.5 point favourites at McDonald Jones. Cronulla's either going to come into this game locked into two, but since we've just said we really can't see the Cowboys losing, much more likely that Cronulla needs to win this to come second. So that's real stakes on the line for the men from the Shire. The Knights are at home. It is Old Boys Day, so that's what's at stake for them. Other than that, it's been a bit of a lost season, and they've lost Anthony Milford for this one. Phoenix Crossland will start at six. Finucane is in the reserves for Cronulla, and they haven't made any other major changes. You've still got guys like Connor Tracy, Will Kennedy out. They're hoping to get back for the finals. Pedonis, you go first. You would have a slight lean to Newcastle?
Yeah, a slight lean towards the Knights, because we've seen with them so far this year that they haven't put in much effort at home. They're pretty limited in terms of ability, but in their final home game on what is Old Boys Day, they normally get up for that event and that contest. And I think the Knights are going to come out and play pretty hard and show plenty of effort. But the problem with them so far this year, and we've seen it time and time again, is that they don't really have much talent, and they find it hard to score points. So when you look at the Sharks at the moment, they're in a finals tune-up. You know that their defense is going to be on song, and they're going to be playing for that second place in all likelihood. So you do worry about that, because the Cows are almost going to guarantee a win, as we just spoke about. So I don't think there's going to be a scenario where the Sharks rest any players, but I definitely can't lay the points with the Sharks either, because they could get to a stage where if they're up big, they could pull a few players early and rest those guys, and that they might be just be happy to coast through the game towards the end just to see out the win and not really risk too many guys in terms of injury and really be aggressive on defense or with the ball. But it's the only way they could lean with the Knights. But I think we're also in a scenario where the Cows are going to win, and this line's going to creep a little bit higher. So you're not really getting the best of the number by taking the Knights now. So I think it's another one where you can wait and see. But the Knights are the only way that I could look.
Whereas I would only play the Sharks, and I'd play them now because I do think that Cowboys are going to win, and the Sharks just can't muck around. Like, it's a big difference between playing at home in Sydney or having to travel to Townsville. You can't underestimate any opponents in the NRL. Upsets do happen. And I don't need to explain to you why I would bet against the Knights. I'm actually bored of criticising the Knights at this point. I already mentioned before, they played the last half hour against the team that is 15th on the ladder and had a man sent off, and they still lost the game by double digits. Now, if I will defend Newcastle slightly, I'll talk about one other thing that happened in Knights Titans last week, which you guys might have seen. Knights were trying to make a comeback, and Saifidi grounded the ball in the in-goal, which, as far as I know, for how many years, 108 years of rugby league or wherever we're at now, that's a try. We see the replay, and everyone can see that he got the ball down, and the bunker called it held up. So that was diabolical, and that hurt the Knights' ability to maybe to cover the game, but I don't think they can blame that moment on not being able to win the game. Ultimately, it was still a poor display. Now, if you're playing Newcastle, you made the case. Old Boys Day, sure. And the other case, you made it as well. The Sharkies don't have an incentive to win big. They just might need to win this one. And when you do play Sunday on the final day of the regular season, of course the finals are in the back of your mind. Yeah, they could give an early mark to a player or two. It's never that simple. You got rotations. You can't leave players out there for, you know, too many minutes, or that creates an issue as well. And then you get a head knock or whatever and someone's cooled down. So reality is, at most, you can take one or two players off for an early mark, but you can only do that if you're well in front. And maybe they would have made that separation in the second half as well as the first half. And, you know, there's other factors at play here, like Nico Hines has a chance to win the Dally M, which would be an incredible, you know, career achievement that you don't want to, you know, give that away. I don't think Hines has been the best player this season. I feel like Ben Hunt, Cam Munster, Reynolds, certainly Latrell have all had these spans of brilliance. But for consistency and the way that the award is voted, I think Hines is going to get it. And certainly if he plays well on Sunday afternoon, he could lock that up. And he's been a sensational pickup. And Sharks fans, I'm sure, are thrilled that they're able to get this guy just at the beginning of, you know, his prime, really. And the other reason I just wouldn't play the Knights is simply I just don't see any kind of game breakers or anybody in their team that can really step up and turn the tide if they're down or if the game's even happens to be in the balance. Who on this Newcastle side breaks it open in their favour? I don't see it. Whereas what I do see in Cronulla is a team that's in finals mode that, because of the way that the team lists work, you can't make mass changes. So they have to prepare all week as if they need to win this game. You don't get to just decide on Saturday night, okay, we're going to try and win. You're preparing all week to put your opponent to the sword. And they probably think they could tidy up their attack a little bit after being, well, pretty poor with the footy and having their worst completion rate of the season last week. Meanwhile, they held the Bulldogs to nil, and the Bulldogs have got a better attack than this Knights side, certainly without Milford. So, you know, I like the idea of fading the public and taking a healthy line with the Knights, and there's reason to do it. But if you're taking Newcastle, I'll just say you're braver than me. I can't do it. There's some correlation factor here that I would get into as well. I would say if you're just making a round 25 multi, just put the Cows and the Sharks both in head-to-head. That's actually, you know, it's not often that just throwing favourites and willy-nilly is good value, but you probably won't go wrong with that because if the Cowboys win, it guarantees that the Sharks will be trying to win. If talking about multis, the final game of the round is Tigers-Raiders. And I would say if you like the Broncos, you would probably multi that with the Raiders because they play West at Leichhardt. And if Brisbane has won, that is what the Raiders will need to do to make the eight. For the Tigers, James Tarmow is going to return, as will Malmalo and Garner from injury, and Peachy's been recalled to the bench. While Kotrick rejoins this Raiders side that won by 42 points last week, we've outlined there's two possible scenarios. So, you know, without knowing, because that Dragons-Broncos game could go either way, what would be your advice for playing this one?
Yeah, my advice for this one would be to wait. I think for the Tigers, knowing that they can't even play to avoid the wooden spoon, I think it's pretty demoralising for them. And it sums up their year. Before the season, round one, when we went through on the recap, they were the favourites, the bookmakers' favourites to come last. And they've been the most inconsistent team all year. So I think that's warranted. And again, it just shows how far the club's fallen. They lost their coach. They had an interim come in and they're not really playing for him. And I think a few players are waiting for next year when they get the new regime in with Tim Sheens. So I think that's been a factor. You only have to look to last week. And only the Tigers can lose a game like that when we spoke about when they had that dropout. And all they had to do was retain possession there. And the game's pretty much over. So I think the Raiders get a long turnaround again from a Saturday to Sunday. They have the matchup. They have the motivation advantages all across the park. I can only see Canberra winning. But we touched on the fact just then, the Broncos game is close to even. So if you do like Canberra, I think you probably wait. Because if the Broncos win, then it's even more motivation for them to go out and cover the line. But if the Dragons win, I think you find a scenario where you touched on that you can't really change your side too much. But being on the Sunday, you only have to drop your team from 21 to 19, 24 hours before. So they're going to be able to have the option of taking four stars out if the Dragons do win and they can rest those players. And then all of a sudden you're laying double digits when you know that Canberra aren't going to come in fully focused and they're going to be ready to go for next week and resting a few guys. And this line's going to probably close at like 6.5 or 7 if that does happen. So I think you can only play Canberra, but I think you have to wait. Or do what you said, multi it with the Broncos to win. Or conversely, if you like the Tigers, then you might be able to multi them with the Dragons and then Tigers head-to-head as a multi, and you'd be able to get some good odds about that because the Tigers will definitely start around $2.50 or something like that if the Dragons do win.
Well, like other way around, just if you like the Dragons, yes, play them into the Tigers line or play them into the Tigers head-to-head. But if you play Dragons head-to-head into Tigers line, you can pretty much guarantee that you can buy off that very easily on Sunday because that line will drop. Now, there's one technicality there. You can drop two players 24 hours before kickoff. 24 hours before this kicks off, the Broncos-Dragons game result will not be known. So I feel like the Raiders could probably only drop two from the 19-man squad. So if the Raiders don't need to win, if the Dragons have won, I think they should give Whiten the game off and any of their other key forwards, let's say, if there's a key forward who, you know, could do with a rest or has got a niggle. I think you'd be crazy if you're the Raiders not to. But what we're saying is you can't make mass changes. But, yeah, they definitely could have less, well, a lot less motivation, and then you also get into the territory of a couple of other players could play reduced minutes and that kind of thing. And we're talking about the demise of Brisbane this season, but what about the Raiders? They lost a game in round eight in Golden Point to the Warriors. At that stage of the season, they'd only won two from their first eight. And what we've been telling you for the last month and a half is that the draw was really kind to the Raiders, and that's been proven to be true. And it has allowed them to, you know, with the along with the capitulation of Brisbane, control their own destiny now, the Raiders. And surely they're not going to choke, right? It wouldn't be like the Canberra Raiders to get in this great position and then choke, right? I can't see it. I think if the Raiders need to win, they will, and they'll win well. I think it's also worth mentioning West could be deflated, so West could just be poor no matter what Canberra side comes out. And I think, yeah, this is a great correlation opportunity. If you like Brisbane, just multi them into Raiders head-to-head, like, because Raiders head-to-head is still like $1.30, $1.35 in spots, so you're boosting your Brisbane odds by that much. And I really can't see the Raiders losing if they need it. If you like the Dragons, go crazy. Sprinkle a bit of your Dragons bet into a West market. And then, you know, and that's the same for the line. I would take the plus if I knew the Raiders didn't need this game, but I'd lay it if I knew the Raiders came in needing to win. And since we don't know, we don't have the confidence to come up with a best bet in this one. But one more chance to win a jersey. This is our jersey giveaway, so comment who you reckon will score the last try in this game and the minute that they will do so. If you're interested in Super Coach or player performance, we've got some doozy player performance anytime try score bets to share in the final episode of Winning Mood, which is tonight live at 7:30, so very shortly, guys. Catch that out where I join the defending champ, Tim Moody, and he's had another strong season. If you like racing tomorrow night, No Morals is live from 6 p.m. on the Tripod page. If you like NFL, the season kicks off in just over a week. We've got a couple of shows coming up this weekend, Prop Me Up with The Undertaker and Barney Netty, given Sunday with Netty, and a season preview extravaganza Monday. We're looking at doing an extravaganza for the finals and bringing in some of the boys that have been tipping, some of the five guys as well. But Don, so it is all happening. This is a great time of year. This is an exciting time of year. But hey, let's have a really strong end to the regular season. Thanks for joining me again, but Don. Hope everyone enjoyed the show. Let us know what you reckon, what you're backing, or anything you agree or disagree with us on. Whatever you do, bet on, please always do it responsibly. And